Are we all ready?
Yeah.
Ready? Good evening. Like to welcome you to Savannah County Board of Supervisors regular meeting on November 18th, 2015. Would you please stand and say the pledge with us, and then a moment of silence.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Okay, first on our agenda is adoption of the agenda. Anyone want to change anything?
No.
Or add anything?
Move that we accept it as presented.
Okay, we have a second?
Second.
All right, it's moved by Mr. Weaven, second by Mr. Sheridan. All in favor?
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Okay, then our agenda stands as written, as presented. County Administrator's report.
Happy advance Thanksgiving to everybody since don't have a meeting next week. Enjoy the holiday. And a few things to cover for the board. Virginia Parks and Recreation and Parks Society just gave another honor to our Parks and Rec Department related to Pleasant Grove Park, the Back to the Nature effort that's there. And they gave it the Best New Environmental Sustainability Award at this year's conference, which is a great honor. And Dr. Jackie Myers was just honored recently. She's been appointed to the Board of Directors for the Virginia State Animal Rescue Response Team and representing the Virginia Federation of Humane Service Societies. And so she's obviously a player in animal welfare in our county, but nationally too. She's been on national radio shows and been in program manuals and articles around the country. And so we really appreciate her efforts that gives Savannah some recognition through her good deeds. Happy birthday and anniversary to the Central Virginia Partnership for Economic Development. It's 20 years old this year, and with lots of support from the partnering agencies and from the many private businesses that support the partnership, they've grown and helped all of our counties and our businesses continue to grow. Great good support for us. They extend our ability to do economic development outreach to businesses and give us data analysis and data reports, so we really appreciate their efforts. And the local composite index report is out now, so for the next 2 years it's actually down. So we're down to 0.3757 from the previous rate over the last 2 years, 3836. So that means a little bit more money.
Yeah.
Because the lower it goes, the higher the state contribution. Essentially, if you look at this as a percentage, it means that we can support about 37% of the school's cost. State can support 63%. That's a very oversimplified way to look at it, but that's about what it ends up being. The formula to get to the LCI is very complicated. Design Crossroads Water and Sewer Project design kickoff is next week, tomorrow afternoon, and so we'll meet with Dewberry to do the initial discussions with them and give them some guidelines on what to work on for that contract that you approved a couple weeks ago. And Bluewood Juvenile Detention, I sit on that commission too. I'm actually the chair this year, but the commission, we approved 2 meetings ago the return of any excess funds once the capital reserve fund is taken care of. And so there was a sufficient amount of excess funds that Fluvanna will receive back, $20,700. And so that'll be coming back by check, and we'll add it to the general fund when it comes back in. And then because you've got a new member in January, because it's been 2 years, are you planning on doing any kind of retreat or planning session in January this year?
I think we should.
Probably so.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It'd be probably good to take a look at what you did 2 years ago,
right.
Buff that up, and then add anything new or change to it, but all of you get on the same page. So mm-hmm. I'll plan something for sometime in January. Now, last time you did it as a Friday afternoon, evening, and a Saturday morning.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to do the same thing? You just want to do a Saturday, or just want to do a Friday, or what will work for you?
I like to do it on Saturday, but I don't know what the rest of them would like. Saturday's good.
Saturday's fine.
We'll check your calendars and plan on maybe a Saturday, just do it as a one-day session this time with a lunch and...
And then the citizens can come on Saturday.
Right, towards the end of the month, because that way I'll have a little bit of a budget idea, and you'll probably have your two-on-twos on budget by then. It'll give you a little bit of idea of you know, kinds of priorities and things. So we'll plan that. And then we've been working on for a number of months, an energy efficiency and performance contract. The state has a program where there are pre-approved energy services contractors, ESCOs, that work with localities and school divisions and organizations throughout the Commonwealth to help us become more energy efficient through either different light switches or different power plant systems or using natural gas instead of fuel oil or a thousand different combinations of things. So we've been meeting with the state representative for many months now, along with the schools. This is a joint effort. And then over the last few months, we selected four contractors to give us what's called a back-of-the-envelope proposal. That back-of-the-envelope generally looks at about two or three facilities, both school facilities and then county facilities, gives us an idea of what they think they would do or could do with those facilities to become more energy efficient. Essentially, the programs are designed such that there's a payback over the 15-year course of the project that either in significant energy savings or in other ways, and it's a pretty impressive program. If you look at this slide there, this is the $697 million in investments resulted in an incredible amount of savings. I don't actually have the other slide up there, but if you go to the Department of Mines, Minerals, and Energy, the Commonwealth's department that manages this, the Directorate of Energy manages this program specifically, but it's been incredibly successful since it started. Now, we plan to interview three of the four candidate firms. One firm actually dropped out. We've gotten the back-of-the-envelope proposals from three of them, but what I really liked is I like to have a member of the Board of Supervisors to participate in those interviews interviews and evaluations with the firms in January, and I'd kind of like to talk Mr. Weaver into doing that, since he's interested in energy savings, and we really would like to have somebody, probably four from the county and probably four from the schools, and then our purchasing officer, as well as the state representative that comes to help with these programs, but we'd like to have a board member to participate in that. So, with the board's permission and Mr. Weaver's acquiescence. Yeah, okay. We'll get with you to help coordinate schedules. We're talking about the
third week of January?
The 19th through the 24th.
Or
the week, yeah. Well, there's an entire week of 5 days and we can pick out what works, and if it doesn't, we'll pick out some other days. Okay. But we'll contact you about that. So for the board's information, what will happen after that is essentially this is like picking a contractor for a contract, and you're looking at all three of them, deciding which one will be the best to work with over the course of this project. And then they will come back with, you'll start negotiating with them specifically on the contract with them, on what they're going to deliver, and these are all guaranteed contracts. They guarantee energy savings or cost efficiencies, and if they don't meet those, then they have to fund that themselves. So they're pretty impressive contracts, but we have to negotiate with whoever that offeror is. But we need to decide which of the three offers we want to best pick for our county.
Now, this is funded by?
It can be funded multiple ways, and it's convoluted and complicated. It could be funded by debt service from us, and then it's paid back. It can be funded by debt service from them, and it's paid back by our energy savings. There's many, many different ways to fund these programs, but it can have, in any case, we wouldn't even be doing the project, we wouldn't go through the project, unless there's significant savings that would make sense for our budget.
Many years ago, there was an energy study made, right. And that was also, I think, in the school system also, mm-hmm. And it kind of didn't turn out too well after a couple of years.
Yeah, this one, there's not really any choice, because this program through the state has there's some mandates on the program, and we wouldn't even go through with the contractor unless there's significant savings and then it makes sense for our county. The preliminaries we got ranged anywhere from $40,000 on one part of it up to $1.9 million in savings over the course of it on one of the other parts from the contractor. So, and that was just for looking at a quick look at two or three buildings, not at all of our buildings in the county. So, We'll get you information in advance so you understand the program, and then you'll get a binder from each of the offers with their back of the envelope proposal, and then we'll get together in advance to talk about that before the offers come in January. Holiday celebration is coming up. We're doing one at Pleasant Grove House this year. We're going to have a tree lighting on December 4th, Friday night at 6 p.m. And so we'll have Santa Claus there and have some kids come up to help light the county tree that we'll have out in front of there. And the staff, all the directors and department heads are all making cookies to bring in and donate. So we'll have dozens and dozens of cookies and hot cocoa. And some outdoor fire pit mowers and things, and then a church group is coming in to do some caroling and some photos with Santa too.
Does that include Mr. Nichols?
No, that's that other Methodist church. So.
Okay. Yeah.
That's that Palmyra Methodist, not the Cunningham.
That's soothing.
Well, they're a wonderful group, and they've actually sung for it before. And lots of folks come in. Anybody who wants to come care, we'll be glad to do it. But they volunteered, and we gladly took them up on the volunteer offer. What we would like is for folks to come bring a non-perishable food item so we can use it to benefit Fluvanna families. But this is a free event. Come on out, get your picture with Santa, get some cookies and hot chocolate, see the county tree. And we want it to be kind of out to the left or when you're facing the house, to the right front of the house, so it'll be visible from the road, you know, as you go by all through the holiday season.
Where the carnival was?
Well, not quite that far, but between in front of the walkway between the summer kitchen and the house, will be out there.
Where the cornhole was done.
Indeed.
Now, who's going to put the lights on? You're going to get the fire department and the ladder?
No, we don't have a tree quite that big. We'll have staff take care of the lights. The tree will be 15 or 20 feet, but we can string lights before we start.
Yeah, I'll tell you, the tree gets one thing over the bucket truck.
Indeed. And then the other thing we're planning is that we're going to actually get a fairly substantive evergreen of some type to be able to plant there so that we've got a perpetual tree that we can just light up every year and have that lit up. And the Parks and Rec staff is planning to do some period-style decorating inside the Pleasant Grove House, too, so people can come tour through there, and we'll string some popcorn, some cranberries, and things like that. But should be a good, fun community event. And the flyer, this is the flyer right here. It went out to the schools today. Did it go out to schools today or tomorrow?
They're going tomorrow.
Okay, so it goes home with like every school children. That means there'll be thousands of them in the ditches along the roadway on the way when you drive around the county. But there are some out front here, and it's already in fan mail and on newsflash, and so we want to get as many folks to come out as they can. Should be a fun evening. And then remember, your next meetings are December 2nd, where you've got the regular 4 o'clock meeting, but the rescheduled public hearings will be at 7 o'clock that night, and then your final meeting of the year will be December 16th at 7 p.m. And we haven't sent you the schedule yet for that, but he's not here, okay. Remember, before this December 2nd meeting, there'll be the special presentation for Mr. Peterson, who's retiring,
right.
And then we'll have a resolution at beginning of the meeting. And then the December 16th one, we'll do a special cake cutting for Mr. Allenbrook before the meeting that night. Like
so what time is that?
Yeah.
What time is the one for BE?
2 o'clock, ma'am.
Oh, 2.
2 o'clock.
Boy, I've got a lot of things.
2 o'clock, what day was it?
On December 2nd, that's for Mr. Peterson.
Okay.
And did those invitations already go out, Kelly? Okay. So, did they go then?
Okay.
Well, if we don't send you the electronic one, you've either been sent the hard copy one already, or we'll send you the electronic one. But it's December 2nd.
All right.
And any questions I can answer for the board?
Any questions? If not, then we will have the Board of Supervisors updates. Anyone?
No.
Ms. Sheridan.
Last night. Mr. Nichols and I attended the next to last meeting for Columbia, where they were trying to tie up all loose ends to make sure that the transition is smooth from Columbia to the county.
Right.
So they did a good job of getting all that straight. I missed the RAB meeting. I've not talked to Mr. Smith, but I talked to Mr. Parrish. He said y'all discussed bylaws and some things of that nature.
For the Parks and Rec?
For Parks and Rec, mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Mr. Bryan.
The VACO conference was, again, another great mm-hmm. conference, and lots of opportunities to meet, socialize, and try to get some business done, and at the same time learn what other counties are doing successfully and how we can improve. So that was valuable. Of course, I also attended the water meeting that was put on by Mr. Nichols, and he did an outstanding job.
He did a fantastic job there.
Mm-hmm. And what was a
sometimes a tough crowd. Your perspective, so.
That's right. And what was sometimes a tough crowd, but he presented the facts and kept his composure and did a great job, so we're lucky to have him. So those were my two reports there.
Good. I have a card in appreciation to thank you for your kindness and sympathy at the time when it was deeply appreciated. The family of Thomas Jackson Bug, Jr. That's to the Board of Supervisors. I went to the Extension Agency meeting today. I know that's not a meeting that I'm assigned to, but I've been going to those meetings for so long. And I noticed the renovation in the back room, you know, where they had the long table. Now they have an extra room. That was a large, you know, when you walk in Fort King School, you went right to the back. They used to train the dogs over here, and they had a big room. We used to meet there. They have a wall there now where Faye Anderson has a spot, and she does the nutrition program. Mm-hmm. So now she has a nice spot. They have a nice refrigerator, and it's they have really been able to spread out, and I think the basement now is better. They've fixed the leak where they can store things with confidence.
And the kitchen renovation will, I'm not sure the actual schedule, Mr. Stevens can provide that, but because we've got Faye in that other office, that kitchen wall then can come down, so there'll be an open space kitchen, and then we'll see where, you know, whether they get some grants for equipment. Right. But it'll be a nice teaching kitchen long term.
Mm-hmm. And I attended the VIP dinner Friday, the 13th, that Parks and Rec did for the county fair people, to kind of like a little celebration, a thank you to them. And that was very nice. And I have attended, of course, my Jobber executive meetings. We have a new financial director for Jobber. His name is Larry Paxton. And then, of course, the VACO, I spent my birthday at a banquet, November the 8th. Can you imagine 200 and 300 people at my birthday party? I should have gotten up and announced it, but I thought I better be cool with it.
You told
but,
enough people.
Yeah.
One too many people.
I told lots of people. Birthday's today, my birthday. I'm happy. I'm happy to have a birthday. I went to a session on the wastewater, you know, the opt-out program, and that seems to be maybe opting out. I mean, it's a lot of discussion.
They're trying to push it back to us.
Push it back to us again when Senator Hodges, I believe, put the bill in. Just is only a year old in the General Assembly, and now they are trying to change it and do some things. So there's some push back there.
You all signed out the resolution last meeting, and we were one of about 40 counties that sent that were opt out counties that sent a resolution back in decrying their potential action. So
right, and I went to a speaker who spoke about the generations working side by side. That was quite interesting. Because when you look at county government and you see the generations in county government, but I looked at Board of Supervisors. We have two traditionals, you and I. We have baby boomers, and that's it. We don't have any millennials.
Well, then we have Bob.
So I said to myself, you need to understand all the other generations. Because sometimes I'm a baby boomer and sometimes I'm a millennial. But you progress, then you know that you have some people who are going to push the buttons on new ideas. I remember when I first came as a principal, I was like 33 years old or something, and I had Josephine Sneed, these older women who had been in the principal for a long time, and I'd pop up with my little new self and I'd say, I want to do this and I want to do that. And they always let me do it. Mm-hmm. They would say, well, Moselle, we tried that, but honey, I believe if you tried your way, it may work. Now, sometimes it worked and sometimes it didn't. But they encouraged me because to get those new ideas. And I thought it was really interesting to kind of look at the dynamics of the generations that you have in your office, the ones you have in the school system, teachers. Because we look at teachers as marginal teachers, long-time teachers, new teachers. New teachers sometimes struggle because of the teachers who've been there a long time, they think they know it all. So, but we need to understand those generations, and then we can work together, we work side by side, and we can pull on everybody's strength. So I'm really trying to expand my mind and get more information about the characteristics of the other generations. So that when I leave the seat, I'm going to know what generation I'm going to look for to replace me. I'm serious. We don't need, I don't want another traditional like me. It's going back in the 40s and 50s. I mean, that's valuable, but I want somebody who's been out and know all those things. You know, it's so fast for me to get behind and work real hard to try to keep up. But do y'all find that you're interested?
Yes, ma'am.
They're in rapture.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, we'll move on. Right now, we will have our first public comments. If you'd like to come and speak to the board, please come to the mic. State your name and address, and you have 5 minutes. I don't see anyone moving, so I will close the first public comments. Now we have public hearing. The first one is SUP 1509, Roundtree Limited Partnership. And that's with Ms. Paul, Steve, our senior planner, Steve Tugwell.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the board. This is SUP 1509. It is a special use amendment to the educational facility that came before y'all last year. Mm-hmm. And it's the Light Academy, and they have grown in popularity, and so they've had an opportunity to acquire the adjoining tennis space in their present location, and so they would ask to amend their SUP subsequent to that. So they are requesting to amend SUP 1404. It would allow for an expansion of the school to 75 occupants and 6 on court and 49 and 7. And it's respect to 6.34 acres on tax map 18A, section 4, parcel 13A. Of course, this tennis space is part of that property on the 6 acres. The current condition limits the school to 50 enrolled students, and with the additional space and the adjoining building, they're asking to increase the number of students from 50 to 116. Per building code and occupancy, they can have 124, and then you take away staff and other incidental personnel, and they're comfortable with 116. So this is the location. Remind you, it's adjacent to the Dogwood, which is approximately in this location. The pink indicates it's zone B1. This aerial image. It is this part of the wing here. You photographs for the board, they do have their signage on the building, the Light Academy. And their entrance to the school is on the other side of that, opposite that sign.
Kind of a porch behind there?
Yes, sir, it's kind of covered type stoop area, seating bench out there. So again, the maximum number of students enrolled in the facility in the academic school year would be 116 with this amendment. Board of Supervisors representative reserves the right to inspect the business. These are standard conditions that were already in place, and the only one we're changing is going from 50 to 116.
And which room are they adding?
They are acquiring an adjoining tenant space.
She moved across the way to the empty space at the end that was the flower shop, and so that space was immediately adjacent to the Light Academy opened up.
And so with that, I have the suggested motion, and Ms. Joyce Parr is here this evening, too, if you have any other specific questions about the school.
Okay. Any questions for Mr. Tugwell?
Did we get comments back from VDOT?
That would be my question.
This is a private access easement, so VDOT wouldn't chime in on this one.
VDOT.
And any other tenants around comments?
No.
No. Yeah, it wasn't anyone to show up. Do you have any questions for Mr. Tugwell? And Ms. Joyce Parr is here if you have any questions for her. If not, are you ready for the motion?
Public hearing, ma'am.
Pardon?
Public hearing.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes. Okay. Thank you, Mr. Tugwell. Now we'll open public hearing. Anyone have any comments about SUP 1009? Anyone?
1509.
Okay, then we will close the public comments. We'll bring it back to the Board of Supervisors. Any more discussion? If not, the motion is available.
Madam Chair.
Yes.
I move that the Board of Supervisors approve SUP 1509, a request to amend special use permit SUP 1404 to allow for an expansion of the educational facility to 75 occupants in 6 center court and 49 occupants in 7 center court with respect to 6.343 acres of a portion of tax map 18A section 4 partial 13A subject to the three conditions as described in the staff report.
Okay, do we have a second?
Second.
All right, motion by Mr. Weaven, second by Mr. Bryant. All in favor?
Before you vote, please.
Yes.
That adds up to 114, I just noticed, and we said 116 before. I want to make sure it's correct in the motion.
Okay.
The capacity should be 75 on one side and 49 on the other for a total of 124. Mm-hmm. And they're asking for 116.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
124.
116 students to go from 50 to 116.
Right. Okay. All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Chair votes aye. Congratulations on your success, Ms. Paul. Yeah. Okay. And next we have ZMP 15-05, Robin M. Travis, Mr. Tugwell.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the board. This is a rezoning request, ZMP 1505 for Ms. Travis. She is requesting to rezone a 4.688 acre parcel of tax map 5, section A, parcel 45 from A1 Agricultural General to B1 Business General. And it is within the Zion Crossroads Community Planning Area. And parcel is currently vacant and wooded. And this is an aerial photograph. I've outlined the parcel in red here. Mm-hmm. Applicant sketch. Some photographs for the board. This is looking east along 250. You see it's a side of this having the wooded. So again, this is a rezoning request of the entire 4.688 acre parcel. It's in the Zion Crossroads Community Planning Area. The comprehensive plan does state that this area should develop as an employment, retail, commercial, and recreation destination for county residents and travelers along Route 64, 15, and 250. If the zoning is successful, the rezoning is successful, prior to any site improvements, they would need to submit a site development plan for review and approval by county planning staff. And request does appear to be in conformance with the comprehensive plan, and it's located in an area that's conducive to future growth and proximity to transportation networks. And with that, I have a suggested motion. The applicant is also here this evening if you have questions for Ms. Travis.
Okay.
Public hearing.
Any questions for Mr. Tudwell? Do you need to ask the applicant anything?
Sort of curious what plans maybe going to business and on. Just wondering what they see for the future there.
Well,
that's the
I don't. You want to ask the applicant?
Sure.
Did the applicant come forward? Yes, sir.
We're here.
Yes, would you come to the mic, one. Sir? All right. Okay. Good evening.
Good evening. My name is Craig Travis. Mm-hmm. I'm the husband this week of Robin M. Travis. Just kidding, of course. Mm-hmm. So we wanted to get it rezoned, obviously, for to make it more attractive to someone who may want to purchase the property. We have no designs on doing anything at all with the property except for putting it up for sale. And if we thought that it would be more attractive to a buyer for that particular reason.
Okay.
That's really the bottom line.
Yeah. Any questions?
No.
All right. Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Now we will open for public hearing. Anyone would like to make any comments about ZMP 15-05, the rezoning? Any comments? If not, I will close the public hearing, come back to the board. You ready for the any more discussion? Okay.
I move that the Board of Supervisors approve the ZMP 15-05, a request to amend the Savannah County zoning map with respect to approximately 4.688 acres of Tax Map 5, Section A, Parcel 45, to amend the same from A1 Agricultural General to B1 Business General.
Okay. Second?
Second.
All right. It has been moved by Mr. Sheridan, second by Mr. Weaver. All in favor?
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Chair votes aye. Thank you. And now we have the fun part.
This is your reading test.
This is.
Your vision
oh,
test.
My goodness.
We do not have to read the whole
thing. Don't you think we should let Steve read this?
Ooh,
well,
yeah.
I've got my new glasses, I can.
Yeah.
And I'm feel free.
Yeah. Well.
So just as a reminder, the county attorney's office took on updating our county code to reflect administrative changes, language updates, and then mandatory changes based on changes to state code. And so this document that's attached to the package shows the kinds of things, just some general provisions,
right,
and the types of things that change. Update a code reference.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them fairly simple. Some of them actually put a little bit of new language in based on what state code is, but you'll see down through the various chapters,
yes,
there are all those different things where some things have been been pulled out. But largely, this is a document now that has some clerical updates, some mandatory substantive updates that are based on state code changes and enabling legislation, and then the discretionary substantive updates that have been put in there to make it more clear, to make it more in compliance with what the board's direction has been. So, Mr. Payne, you have anything to add to that?
No, some of these are, I would say numerically, the majority of them really are correcting references.
Mm-hmm.
So that there'll be a reference to the county code to something entitled 15.1 of the Code of Virginia. 15.1 has been replaced by 15.2.
Yeah.
So the numbers are different. In the great majority of those cases, the substance hasn't changed. It's just the numbering. That's probably the greatest number of them. There are some that are substantial. I think the one that's probably the two that I can think of right offhand that have been changed the most. Again, reflecting changes to the Code of Virginia, are the soil erosion and sedimentation control,
mm-hmm,
and the other one just skipped my mind. But you can see it as you go through this,
yeah,
this document beginning on page 125 of the packet. is sort of an index of what you're looking at. There's really only a couple of things that are truly discretionary. The one that comes readily to mind is on page 125 of your the packet, and that deals with the fees for applications for land use assessments.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the reason for that is we have a fee for that. I think it's $10. And the question is whether you wanted to change that, eliminate it altogether, or have a greater fee. And what I call the index, you will see for it's section 20-4-3. You'll see an explanation of what these changes are. That's on page
the page of it.
The extra section is 125.
It's right here on the screen.
Oh.
Well, yeah, but the section of the code is
right.
The page for the code section itself is page 125.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And there's a reference that you'll see there in the footnote to a couple other counties. I think it's Albemarle and Henrico that we compare, and you can see that theirs is a good deal more than ours.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't have any particular sense what would be a good change, if any. So you can either leave it the way it is or change it to whatever you think is appropriate. The touchstone of it, I think, is to pay for the cost of the review. So $10 is obviously essentially a nominal figure. As you can see, Albemarle talks about a substantially higher number, and so does Henrico. But that's one of the very few what I call discretionary substantive changes. If you don't want to change that, you don't need to say anything. It'll just make the yellow highlighting go away.
Yeah.
I have a question on page 12 of 78. Actually, I was sort of curious. It's under section 3.1-6, review of applicant notice hearing. It's under there.
That's for ag forestal districts, I think.
Well, I just had a
page 12.
Sort of a technical. It's on here, it's 12 of 78 page.
12 of 78, okay.
It's the last paragraph in that page. It says the notice shall contain a statement that an applicant district has been filed with the, and then it goes on to say governing body and referred to the Planning Commission. That's marked out. And you put program administrator. I'm sort of curious why you didn't leave it like it was, or was it inconvenient? Or?
Statutory change.
Okay.
Do we know how much revenue the fee generates?
The late fee?
Yeah.
I'll put it in simple terms, none. I mean, if you got 10 a year, none. It costs us probably more to process a $10 late fee than it would be worth even collecting the $10 late fee. Mm-hmm. And, you know, nothing costs $10 anymore. Maybe that's just a nuisance fee, but processing just on that alone to take a paper check in and then process and get it up to, you know, for deposit is probably more than that nowadays.
How many late fees?
Do you have any idea how many late fees we're getting, Jason?
No.
Staff have a recommendation on the fee increase?
Some are south of 100, but certainly above 25. I think if you put a $50 or $75 fee on it, that's clearly reasonable for a late filing fee on those types of things, and it would be still reasonable for the area.
I would suggest we change.
Do we have anything from Louisa or Goochland as to what they charge?
We can check and come back to you, and you can put it on an agenda for a future public hearing to update, or you can defer on this one. Close the public
because
hearing.
We have Albemarle and Henrico; they're not very comparative to us.
You could do that. You could do any of the three. One thing you could do is simply adopt, leave it the way it is, and just take it up again later. That's a pretty simple change. a lot of these things are really...
Why don't we just make it $50 and we need to adjust it downward, or we'll adjust it downward?
I think you can do that.
Find a place that's a late check fee is $10 anymore.
$35.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Mm-hmm. Just the standard market for those kinds of things nowadays. Only because it's processing time for...
I don't have any problem with it.
I can live with 50.
Okay, do we need a motion on that?
Still public hearing, but that was enough.
And then
what I would suggest is that when the motion is made, you simply note that change at that time. And the section is, it's 20-4-3.
Okay, when you make the motion, put that in. Okay. Yeah. Anything else on this? I mean, gee, it's a lot.
If you think this is a lot, remember we divided it into two portions, and the Planning Commission asked Mrs. Eager how much fun it was to do the zoning and subdivision on Monday. It's more.
Mm-hmm. All right, are we ready for...
Public hearing, please.
Public hearing. Okay, I'm opening for public hearing. Anyone have any comments about the amendment and reactment of the Fluvanna County Code of Chapters 1 through 18 and 20 through 21 to conform to current enabling legislation? If not, I will close the public hearing. And Board, are you ready for motion?
Mr. O'Brien, one thing you may want to note is that I was just checking again on that section 24.3. There are actually two dollar figures. One is for an original application, and the other one is late fee. Mm-hmm. And under our current ordinance, it's $10 for each one. I don't know whether you wanted to...
$10 plus 10 cents per acre, is that right?
Yes.
Right. It seems to me that's low as well, too.
Yeah, it is.
Well, I just want to point out there's two, not just one.
Right. Okay. There's two. So you want to change... You all want to change both of them?
I think it makes sense to change them.
Okay, what are you going to change both of them to the same thing?
I'd say $50, yeah.
Okay, and anyone?
Again, does staff have any recommendations?
We don't have numbers from very many counties, but I mean, Henrico was $40 plus 10 cents fee. I mean, even if you went up to $25 plus 10 cents an acre, it would be certainly more than what we've got.
That makes sense.
Yeah, and then the late filing fee is more of a punitive thing.
That would be 50.
So 25 right. and 10, and then $50 for late.
Any other comments, discussion? Anybody satisfied with that? Are we ready to make the motion? Okay.
I move that we Your approve
motion,
the SUP with, I mean, not the SUP, the amendment and reenactment of the Fluvanna County Code Chapters 1-18 and 20-21 to conform to current enabling legislation. As stated on the board there, and with the changes to 20-4.3 as discussed.
Okay, we have a second?
Second.
All right, motion by Mr. O'Brien, second by Mr. Weaver. All in favor?
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Chair votes aye. Now we have action matters. K. Fluvanna County Public School fiscal year 15 to fiscal year 16 carryover request. And we have the financial director, Ed
Mr. Breslau was here from the finance director for the school.
But
a note for all of you on the screen, there are different motions, and they broke them out into three different ways. One, to deny any carryover. Two, to approve a partial carryover, which Mr. Breslau can explain, and three, to carry over whatever you select and choose. We'll plug those numbers in. So the three motions are there. You would only need one of those three motions, but that's just to give you the options so you've got them pre-formatted.
Okay. So let's get familiar with the motions with
another
one.
I'll let Mr. Breslau speak.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mr. Breslau's got an additional question.
Ready for you. Mm-hmm.
Good evening. The school board at their October 14th meeting, I presented them with a preliminary estimate before meeting with the auditors of what the potential local fund balance would be, and they adopted language which was included in the letter from the superintendent, and I would address the $637,000 first motion. That will ask for all the funding. The board discussed a number of possibilities that were discussed with the staff. The board did not vote on any of those because they didn't know what would come, because they also included in the request language. For the full amount or such other amount as the Board of Supervisors would deem appropriate. So there was nothing adopted, but a number of topics were considered. The top three involved curriculum and instruction materials, technology, and some staff items, which were a bonus at the time. The second item is a result of meeting with the auditors. They moved a procurement that had been originally an FY15 purchase of vehicles from FY15 to FY16. So essentially it would move money that we thought we'd spent, and we all believe we'd spent in fiscal year 15 to 16, and so there's no net change there. It's just paid for it. That would only be that amount, or such other amount as the board deems appropriate, as the school board adopted back in October.
How many students were there that's higher than the ADM? In other words, you had a figure that you sent into the state, and what was that, and how much more? How many more students over that?
Well, there's more than one in the budget. The state budget figured approximately 3,525 students. We came in at 3,527. Which doesn't seem like much, but when the budget was put together, because I had clear direction to not have to come to the Board of Supervisors for a third year in a row saying we didn't have adequate revenue, so we did a lot of defensive things and we budgeted for a 40-student drop. So instead of having a 40-student drop, we had a 4-student above. So that contributed in the neighborhood of $200,000.
$200,000, yeah. Okay.
So that was the ADM piece, Mr. Weaver.
Fuel cost. How did we do on fuel cost?
Well, because everyone has a good crystal ball with fuel costs, I couldn't believe, and people I talked to didn't believe, that fuel would continue to be under $2 a gallon. In fact, it's going down again. So we continued to try and budget at $4 a gallon, because it's easier to believe that fuel costs will go up, especially considering the things that have happened in the Mideast over the last 18 months, that it should have gone up. And it didn't go up. That was also combined with our heating oil reduced usage, because the winter didn't work out as badly as we had projected. Those two things, so instead of paying $4 a gallon, we were paying between $1.50 and $1.62 a gallon.
Well, you really don't know where that's going. I heard just on the news within the last day or two that Iran, with the deal that the governor has made with them, they're going to start pumping more crude oil out, and they're going to double their capacity going out. So I wonder, that in theory should still yet reduce fuel oil.
That's a large-scale economic issue that I really wouldn't want to...
You wouldn't want to speculate on.
You know, sir.
If we create a budget on what Iraq's doing or Iran's doing, it would be a stretch, but it's interesting information.
They're not really doing much right now, so
but I'm pretty sure you're not
well
asking,
without him.
I'm pretty sure you're not asking him to lower his estimate, are you?
No, I'm not.
Okay.
No, I'd rather have it overestimated than underestimated.
Then we have something coming back.
Yeah.
Good, sir.
But we were all speculating a little bit there.
Yes, sir.
What is the intended use of any of the unallocated funds?
Other than the 61,883, the discussion, as I mentioned, was primarily in the areas of, I can actually look at what was presented because of the actual language. We talked about technology, curriculum and instruction, and operations, staff, business, with technology being the largest piece. As the board may be aware, we have a large need to do replacement programs. There hasn't been a successful effort on the school's part to get it in the capital area, so we've been nibbling away at it. We have over $3 million worth of instructional technology that are things used by students. If we have a five-year replacement cycle, that's $600,000 a year. We have infrastructure, which is a few million dollars more than that. So the principal area is to do that. An example I can give of replacing technology is this summer we got rid of our last XP computer.
Ooh,
now, the XP came in the service before our seniors were in school.
Oh, I know you're in trouble with that XP.
So What happens is equipment technology filters down. One area that's always been of interest is our graphics lab. They use relatively high-end computers. So when they get to be 4 or 5 years old, they are really past their useful date. What happens is they go down to our engineering lab, the engineering computers go down, and they work their way down through the school division to people who need less demand, less enhanced, technologically sophisticated pieces of equipment. So we have a trickle down works in technology for schools.
Remind me again, did the board not approve $600,000 for technology early in the year?
Not in the CIP.
Not in the CIP?
No.
We approved some amount, though, right?
Yes, $200,000. And we said we had put $200,000 in each following year to go ahead and take care of that technology.
$400,000 or something like that. I think it was
$200,000. We put some amount.
You pulled it out of the CIP, and you didn't specify it in their budget because you can't specify it in their budget. But the $600,000 in the CIP came out, and you didn't put a wedge back in.
We talked about it.
Didn't we put in $200,000?
I don't think so, sir.
I thought we had, because we were going to do it in increments.
Yeah.
I thought I heard $200,000.
Yeah, me too. Yeah.
I'll check here and see you in a second.
Okay.
Because we had a tight budget this year, and we didn't want to do the whole thing. In fact, yeah, I think you asked the board, whoever stays here, whether they would agree to that.
That's
you might remember.
I do.
And we said yes.
Yes. Yeah, that's correct.
But I think they ought to just come back with us in the budget and put that other $200,000 in for 3 years and then it'll be done with.
No.
No.
We just moved the $600,000 to an out year, and it became $1.2 million next year.
What's the $200,000
over here? $200,000 down the bottom there.
To the right hand.
The other right hand.
Right there, right hand bottom.
That's for the county reserve, the capital reserve. The schools are right here, sir. The line 50, right there, is the schools. Remember, it was $600,000 a year in perpetuity, and you didn't approve anything. But the $600,000 just got slid to the right, so it became 1.2. The out years are still $600,000.
What actually happened, if I remember correctly, is that the Planning Commission recommended to remove it out of there.
Yes.
Right. They did. So they removed it out of there, saying that they thought it should be just operational.
In operational budget, yes.
Right. So I think the question is was it in the CIP, but as part of their operational budget, I believe we accounted for technology.
I don't think so, because you don't do line item budgeting for them.
Right.
But they presented that as part of their budget.
Well, in their stack of things,
I objected to taking it out of the CIP, because that was one way that you could actually designate how that money would be used.
And you could be sure. Probably.
You can kind of follow it.
Well, if it's a reduction out of the operating budget.
Excuse me.
If it was a corresponding reduction for the operating budget, where it had been funded.
I think what we did was increase the operating budget for that.
Right.
That's what we did.
Do you remember what we
so did? Then they do have 200 to go ahead
if
and
if
move
it was used that
the
way.
The squints got $100,000.
Yeah.
Most of that was taken
up for
that.
Because I thought they were going to use $200,000 for the first payment and go $200,000 for the 3 years total.
Yeah. Do you recall any of that, Mr. Ressler?
The schools asked for approximately $1.1 to $1.2 million. The Board of Supervisors approved over $800,000. Of the $800,000, the discussion here was we had two elements. We had a 1.5% pay raise that was, it's called the state pay raise, but typically, they don't pay it, they only cover the SOQ positions, and that came to about $280,000 to $300,000. And then there was a health insurance increase, which you actually talked about why the value of that increase the value of the pay raise, so that was over $600,000, and then we had a number of other small things, and it got up to just up to $800,000 of a variety of things. We used some of that money to help with technology, but the age, every time we move the $600,000 forward, we're still replacing older. As I said, this fiscal year we replaced a 13-year-old computer, and they're still going on. So we have a lot of infrastructure, and the $600,000 doesn't actually do what you've done in the bus CIP, in the CIP with regard to the buses, by going to six a year to get to get our older buses out of service. Once we get to an equilibrium state, if you will, we need 4 to 5 buses a year, 4 1 year and 5 the next year, mm-hmm. with our fleet of 68 buses with a 15-year life cycle.
I thought you wanted to start this year on those computers and all that, $200,000, but you started.
We had that, but we also had, that was part of the $1.1 to $1.2 million right. request, and the good part of that isn't typically was taken up with personnel expenses.
So what portion, so what was allocated in the budget for
about $80,000 more for, we finished the teacher laptop and started on some more of the testing computers.
And
then in the spring, we brought some more
put it in there
with other funding to get ahead, but we're still not where we are.
This was their ask, the 1.098, and it included, as they spread, it included about $300,000 for technology and $180,000 for the various stuff. You didn't fund the entire 1.1, though. I think you right. funded right. $800,000. I think it was $800,000.
Right. 800 and some thousand.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Well, I thought we had it in there. I mean, I know you use it for something else, but...
It would be nice.
I thought you had it in there, and we were going to do it in 3 increments. That was my recollection, but things get so confusing and all.
Well, it definitely isn't in a wedge that's controllable, because it wasn't in CIP.
Yeah.
You've got a composite here, and, but again, once their budget's approved, there's not any control where it's spent. That's school board's function, but anyway, I think it was about $800,000 out of their ask.
Get it back in the CIP?
I think that was Mr. Breslau's recommendation. Was it in the CIP?
January.
If I recall.
Because then it seems to me it's a better control. I think the commissioners thought that the $600,000 needed to be in operation because that would reflect a truer per pupil expenditure.
And?
Yeah.
And the discussion was two things. That, right. yes, and also that it was... those are expendable items.
Right.
They're not capital
yeah.
items.
Yeah. So they had their reasons. So.
I mean, our capital limit's already pretty low at $20,000. That's not a capital expenditure in nowadays dollars, but mm-hmm. should be at $40,000 or $50,000. But
yeah, but you're usually replacing several hundred PCs at a cycle
sure.
or something
like
that.
But so again, the argument would be that's an ongoing operating expense because it happens to be cyclical
Except
all the time.
As we see, that contends for other budget items.
Sure.
So it doesn't actually happen, which is, and it also, by not having it in the CIP, exempts it from proffers as a potential proffer item as well, too.
You'll get a recommendation from the Planning Commission and a recommendation from the County Administrator in the budget when you get it in first meeting in February, and we'll see where that plays out, but then you all can do what you will with it after that.
I'm sort of okay. disappointed that
I know the laptop replacement program. I can print everything I want at Central because a lot of us at middle school got handed down
their old
laptops stuff. From Central.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So I can just testify to that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, so we need to.
Do we want to put that in the next budget then? Put say 200 or 300,000 in that in the next budget and not mess with this here this time, other than the
61,000. I would say we could do the 61,000 and table the motion for the rest for right now.
Okay, I agree.
Any further discussion?
Okay.
That would allow the superintendent and the school board members to come back if they wanted to contact any of us, could do that or be here for that.
Why are you tabling it again?
Just so that we can have further discussion on it. Just the $61,000 I don't have any issues with right now. I think it's just
you question. You don't have a choice. You have to make a decision now because the year's mm-hmm. got to be closed out. Now, anybody can come back anytime and ask
right.
for a budget supplement.
Yeah.
But on this dollar, you've got to make a decision and decide.
The only thing we agreed
if they
that
come back, it won't be related to this. It'll just be coming related back to an ask.
I agree that
the CAFR has to be closed.
Approved for the funding, and now I find out a lot of money's not there. That bothers me.
But
I'm just saying, that's they needed it for other things, so.
But I'm not sure you can prove that.
Well, I think he alluded to that.
I don't know. He said they used the money. We can't even prove We can't tell them what to do with the money.
Well, no, they're not done.
I don't remember. Nor can we say, we gave you $200,000, you should have spent it on computers. I think he told us what he did. The computer money was spent this time on, but that's not even... You did do tech... Money was spent on technology.
We asked for approximately $1.1 million.
Yeah.
And if that included... And if $200,000 was included in the 1.1, then it would have all, you know, then everything would have, you know, $1 for dollar.
Yeah.
But since we got just under, just over 2/3 of that,
right,
things we had to do, we had to spread the money around.
Right.
Some things we had to do.
When do you actually need to have a decision on the balance of the unfunded allocation to close your budget up?
They don't have a choice. Their budget's done.
Yeah.
We've got a CAFR that has to be closed out. You're going to get a final report next month from the comprehensive, the annual financial report, and, mm-hmm. and you can't
yeah.
you can't delay this carryover. It goes back to wherever you say, either back to their budget or it goes back to general fund. And then, if, for instance, it went to general fund and the schools comes back with an ask with more information, you can refund that any time.
Right.
We just then have to do a budget amendment for fiscal year 16.
Right.
Gotcha.
But I don't... You don't want any delays on this decision
no.
now, because we can't.
No, and what
we're already late.
Sure, and what you said, we asked for a certain amount. You asked for $1.2 million.
$1.1 million,
and then we're saying, well, we think we gave you $200,000. You should have spent on the computer, but then we give you $800,000. You didn't get your 1.2. You got 800,000, and we expect you to take 2,000 of that and put them in the computer. What are you going to do with the rest of the stuff that's needed in the budget? So that's the way I see it. You understand what I mean?
Part of the problem is, though, you all don't have any control over it.
No, we don't.
If they come back for a specific ask, is that a controlled aspect then? Or is it just...
Well, when they come back through to this, and then let them come back later and get into the details.
If they come back for a specific ask, they're not coming back to ask you for $200,000 for computers.
Right. Mm-hmm.
They're coming back to ask for $200,000.
Right. Now,
clearly they may say that's what it's intended for, but the point is, I really don't want you all thinking that because they asked for $200,000 for computers and then they end up something else in their budget needed for it and spend on that,
right.
there's no tie to that.
But I think if the larger point is, if it was part of the CIP budget, they would have to spend it that way, correct?
Indeed.
Okay. Right.
So I think this is an example of where looking at it and saying it's operational didn't work. Because at the end of the day, one of the larger criticisms that we've had mm-hmm. about our school is, in fact, technology. So the fact that the technology has been made part of the operational mm-hmm. budget and then not spent that way
right.
is, I think, one way that we as a board can control that. So that's, you know, my particular viewpoint on that. So I would rather see that money come back in general fund and then use that as part of the CIP budget. It's my opinion on that.
So you are looking at the first motion.
Look at the second one, aren't you?
Second.
Yeah. Second.
You want me to make a motion?
Sure.
Madam Chair, I move the Board of Supervisors approve carryover of FY15 Savannah County Public Schools unexpended local funds in the amount of $61,882 pending final audit results, and to increase the FY16 school level appropriations from $16,109,416 to $16,171,299.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion by Mr. Weaver and a second by Mr. O'Brien. All in favor?
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Chair votes aye.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Just a note before Mr. Smith begins, too. I revised the motions to split them out into two different separate motions, so the revised motions are on the screen rather than in your package. It took what you had, but split them out into two different things. Mr. Weaver had asked about it today, and it makes more sense to split them out that way. So,
Madam Chair, member of the board, this is a follow-up motion from our last conversation with Mr. Moss. Essentially, what we are asking for would be moving the FY17 CIP proposal of $10,000 to FY16
along with increasing that 10,000 to 15,000.
And just as an update, I think you saw a conceptual drawing last time when we showed you this, but Mr. Moss has gotten some additional drawings and they're a little more detailed, still pretty similar outside. But he's got some more detailed drawings of the potential renderings inside and the roof line and the side views and things like that. Now, this all has to be sat down, looked at, reviewed, and then we've got to hire a contractor, we've got an award contract for this, so that this is not the final product, although the final product may look something like that if the project goes forward. My concern all along on this has not been that this is not a good project and that the county shouldn't put money in. I think it's a fantastic fundraising effort and it'd be great to have the museum. It's the tail. Just remember there's a tail to operating this in perpetuity at Pleasant Grove Park. Mm-hmm. Electricity, keeping it open, opening the doors, locking it up, I mean, fixing things. It's one more addition. Just keep that in mind that there is an operating cost tail to any other addition you do.
Tail the most of them.
It is, yes, sir.
And no estimate on what that is.
So the first one essentially takes your commitment from 17 and moves it to 16.
Yeah.
The second one asks you to raise your commitment from 10,000 to 15,000 if you so choose.
I'm not going to prove the second one, but I'll prove the first one.
And there's no estimate on operational cost on how much. There's no way you can do that.
Partly no, only because we don't know what the final design is going to look like or what the materials are going to be. And I think, frankly, I think this cost is way underfunded because I'm not sure how you're going to get a concrete slab for a facility that big within $128,000. But there are lots of creative people who are working on this and people that may get additional fundraising. It's not going to extend the county's commitment unless you all choose to do so, but I'm worried about A, the tail, and B, I don't think this is enough to do it, but it's not stretching the county's dollars if you only approve your 10,000 or your 15,000.
Right.
That's your partial commitment. And then
what about insurance?
We will have to pick it up on our insurance. It'll be a county building, and it'll be on our insurance rolls.
So that would may increase our insurance.
It will for sure increase insurance, except that it'll be a barn structure. It probably will not have restrooms, although we'll see. The restroom's right across the street.
So we've got some 1050.
Right, so it's not intended to be, but then we got to worry about ADA compliance and things.
It's got to be ADA accessible.
And then I'm not sure all the equipment will be insured. So there's a whole list of things that have to be considered. But you're not approving building this tomorrow.
Yeah, I understand. But what about people who come to visit? Will there be a fee? Are they going to make money?
That's completely up to you. You don't have a fee for Pleasant Grove House Museum now. Right. There wasn't a fee contemplated for this. But all that can be subject to change, you know, down the line. Essentially, what you're doing tonight is saying whether you're still committed to the project and to what degree, and allowing to move forward faster if sufficient fundraising is done. But remember, every step of the contracting way has to still be done, and that still comes back to you for review and approval before that contract is awarded. So you've got plenty of review steps along the way still.
Right. Okay, so the first motion is talking about the $10,000 that we have in the CIP, and the second one you're increasing it back to 15.
Yes.
The first one is going from 17 to 16.
Correct.
From 17 to 16.
It's moving a future commitment to this year's commitment, and that may help the project move along.
Right.
$10,000 is going to move mighty slow with.
Yeah. Does anyone we want to talk about anything?
Well, I can approve the first motion, but I will not approve the second motion.
Because
they're coming to the well twice now, so whatever. So
anybody
I didn't vote for the first one to begin with. So
all right. Anyone else have anything else you want to talk about between the two? They're asking for.
So just to be clear, that's an increase of 5,000, not an increase of 15,000.
It's a 5,000 increase.
The second motion is simply increasing
from 10,000
to 5,000. Right. And one note, because if you move it from 17 to 16, in the second one, we say that, you know, if you went to 15, you could take this out of profit, but you could actually take the same 10,000 funded out of the fund balance or existing county profits. I think we have $72,000 in profits available, and some of those will certainly apply to this project. So it's not you have to take some new cash. You could use it on the proffers, whether it's 10,000 or 15,000. So
okay.
Is there an expiration on the proffers?
Largely no.
There are some tails on some sometimes, but largely no.
So it seemed to make sense to at least use it from there.
I think this is the perfect use for something like that, for a recreational facility or an educational facility or things like that. And this would really qualify for both.
Okay. I think I would approve of the five coming out of profits, the 500 extra.
I move the Board of Supervisors to withdraw the FY17 CIP proposal for the Farm Heritage Museum in the amount of $110,000, including $10,000 of proposed county funding, and further move to approve an amendment to the FY16 CIP for the Farm Heritage Museum in the amount of $123,299, with $10,000 funded from
county proffers.
County proffers. And $113,299 to be funded by grants or
from other sources. Local sources.
Or to be funded by grants from other local sources. It keeps moving on.
Okay, that was a test and you passed.
It was your eye test.
Okay. All right. Do we have a second? All right. It's been moved by Mr. Sheridan, second by Mr. O'Brien. All in favor?
Aye.
All right. Chair votes aye.
Didn't kill me.
Thank you.
I move the Board of Supervisors approve an amendment to the FY16 CIP for the Farm Heritage Museum in the amount of $108,299, with $15,000 funded from existing county proffers, and $113,299 to be funded by grants or from other local sources.
Do we have a second?
Second.
All right. Motion by Mr. Sheridan, second by Mr. Bryant. All in favor?
Aye.
Anyone opposed?
Aye.
All right.
One thing I want to make a clarification on. So you just approved moving it from 17 to 16 for 123. Mm-hmm. Now, are you approving an additional five?
Mm-hmm. The second time.
The second motion, yeah.
So we don't want to say they want to approve another amount of 128. It's just basically approving an additional 5,000.
Well, the new amount is 128,299.
Just for clarification.
Of which 15,000 is from the county and 113, which is the same as the previous motion, comes from grants.
All right. Okay, so.
I think it's clear, but.
All right, so we had three yay on that last one and one nay.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right.
So 4-0 on the second.
Yes. Uh-huh. Okay. G. Now, next year, Parks and Rec. Oh, you're there.
I'm not leaving.
Okay, thank you. This is a kayak rental fee structure.
So we recently invested in four kayaks, and we'd like to basically copycat our canoe rental fee structure. We typically make about $1,000, maybe $1,200 a year annually. For the kayaks total for the four, we spent, I want to say it was just under $1,000. That included paddles and a seat for each kayak. So essentially we'd break even the first year.
I think that's really a good investment.
It's actually.
Melinda, she's an expert kayak.
Are they plastic?
Yes, ma'am. They're sit on top ocean kayaks.
They're great.
Oh, they're good.
Yeah.
Okay.
They're
to me a lot easier to get in out
definitely.
Of trying to crawl in the hole.
Oh, there's no hole there.
Just
there.
Ten.
You sit on top.
I would never get it.
These tens are a little easier.
Yeah, but you got to stand up and get back on. You can't roll it and stay in it.
Oh.
Rolling over in the Ravana is not advisable because those rocks are not quite as deep as they are in the ocean.
Yeah.
That's probably better than the James, though, rolling over in the James.
I don't know about that.
Right. So, both of them are bad sometimes. Do we have any questions about what has been presented to us?
What's your projection on this again?
Well, we're going off of our canoe rental previous years, so it's going to be around $1,000.
I will add one thing to it. I think that when we get our additional boat ramps, like we've talked about, and we knew it are coming, I think that that will increase the sales or the use of them.
We can market
more access.
And we can take them to the site and advertise in advance so people can just come right there, jump in, and then we go down the other end and pick them up later that day. Yeah. It makes it much easier for folks that don't
like trailheads will have water trail access.
Mm-hmm. What about theft? Do you think there's any theft involved in it? Not much risk.
We haven't lost a canoe in 4 years since
since he's been here.
No, Eugene said something.
Well, he takes them home with him every night.
Yeah,
also,
yeah.
They'll put that in people's minds when they have one dog.
Well, hopefully no one's here that wants an extra canoe.
I'll put that in
Mr. Rothmel looks.
They can have the oak tree that they're chained up to.
Okay. You ready for a motion?
Yes, I am. Yes,
Madam Chair, I move the Savannah County Board of Supervisors approve the proposed fee structure for Parks and Recreation Kayak rentals to be effective immediately.
Second.
It has been moved by Mr. Weaver and seconded by Mr. Sheridan. All in favor?
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Chair votes aye.
Thank you.
We have one presentation, and they've been sitting
one
here.
More item,
one more
item.
One more item. One more appointment and so to the economic.
We'll do the EDA, but just as a reminder in advance, I reminded Mrs. Eager about this tonight. Since she's coming on the board January 1st, her position on the Planning Commission will be vacated. And so we've got three applicants already, but I've asked her to look for applicants as well, because that will come up on your January agenda,
yeah,
because we'll need an immediate replacement for the Planning Commission. And anyway, so she knows about that. You'll see it in your package from the January 6th meeting, yeah, January 6th or 7th, whatever.
Okay.
It
is. So, do
in this
we
case,
have
for the EDA, Mr. Scott is resigning, and we've got two applicants, Mr. David Perry and Mr. Curtis Putnam.
Oh, Mr. Scott is resigning. Okay.
Both of them look like really good candidates.
Yeah, that large position.
I don't know that I know either one of them
personally. I know.
Mr. Putnam was a long-time employee for the county.
Yeah. Right.
You just appointed him to the Fluena Partnership for Aging just recently,
yeah,
and he's been an active member of that. And Mr. Perry's got excellent experience and background too to serve. So
is he on any voluntary, Mr. Perry?
I don't.
Economic Development Commission, 14th Sanitary District.
No, those are those are the ones he's interested in, sir.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't, and we'll make sure we put those on there, but I don't think we have it on there.
Okay.
And can you pull up Mr. Putnam real quickly there?
Sure.
I move to appoint Mr. Curtis Putnam to the EDA authority.
Second.
Okay. So
at large position, replacing Donnie Scott, who resigned with the term to begin immediately and terminate June 30th, 2018.
I'll second it again.
All right. We have a motion by Mr. O'Brien, second by Mr. Weaver. All in favor?
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Chair votes aye. Now we have joint annual report, Mr. Sheffield and Karen.
Good evening. Steve, did they get a copy of this?
Yes.
Okay, great. Just going to do a little short presentation this evening just to kind of give you an update of how things went in FY15 here specifically in Fluvanna County, and kind of just give you a preview of what's coming up in FY16 and then really FY17 and beyond. Just kind of see up in the presentation there, just a little bit of a soft reminder that Jaunt has reached its 40th anniversary. We've been running services for 40 years. That's technically part of FY16, but we had our annual meeting in September and we took this photograph.
That
so
said yo.
What's that?
That said yo.
Yeah, that's right, yo. The formal like point at four came out even kind of more odd there, but it was great. So annually we recognize our employees for their achievements with safety and their overall performance. Jaunt's overall ridership is rebounding. We're definitely seeing an increase. This is largely driven by the services in the urban area, as well as some increases of agency service. And there's a good amount of that happening in Fluvanna. I'll get into that in a little bit more detail, because at the dinner that we just had, police stood up and spoke, and you asked about the services here. And that number there, the agency, 691%. Sounds like a lot. It is a lot. A lot of that has to do with PACE. We're seeing a lot of transportation from Fluvanna to the PACE facility and then back. So that's great, because what happens is more agency services that we provide really does help offset the demand on Fluvanna to kind of help subsidize the service. Overall, ridership did go down. This was expected for FY15. We had to make some cutbacks on the service just because of some general funding dynamics there. But right now, we're fairly optimistic. I'll show you a graph that shows you where we could have estimated ridership and hours are going. I should point out that you pay for hours, you don't pay per trip. And that's a really, really important thing to remember, because moving forward, I really want to focus on getting more ridership but keeping the hours steady. So you're paying for us to do roughly 3,000 hours of service. If I'm carrying, 10,000 people, that's great. If I'm carrying 5,000 people, that's bad. So what I've been telling a lot of the rural counties is that I'm not looking at this as a funding problem these days. I'm really looking at it as a ridership problem. We've reached, we've kind of closed the gap in some of the areas of our expenses. The budget that's going to come to you is not going to be really big of a surprise or an increase. I will caveat, though, that we have two great board members that you've appointed to John's Board of Directors, Pat Thomas and Dave Feisner. If you as supervisors or either of them as representatives ask for something to be added into the budget this coming year, we will do that. But I'm going to call it out first for so Steve can communicate that to you all very effectively, that overall base service of 3,000 hours cost went up X, but that additional service would be Y. Because that's a lot of the questions that we get every year from Fluvanna and a lot of the other localities. What does it cost to do this additional piece or bring back this other service? And I want you all to be able to weigh those two things quite differently, because keeping the hours steady really does provide that reliability to get us to rebuild the ridership. And that's what's really important at this point, because I'd rather see that over, instead of the ridership be level, I'd rather see go back up. And it really can go back up. We can rebound that. We can get people who were riding the service before to get back on. But it's hard for us to do that if we have a little bit of uncertainty. One of the approaches that we take with that is to just reach out to the people who rode before and just re-educate them on what's going on. In the past, we've kind of broken out these hours of service, and we have various different services. We have routes, we have the midday service and the intra-county service. Really, to a lot of residents, that doesn't make much of a difference. They just call us up and say, hey, I need to get from A to B. What do you have? So that's another approach that we're taking, is to kind of look at what's happening in Fluvanna and try to reshape the services that meets the needs that we're seeing, so that, again, we can stay within those hours of service that we want to provide and maximize the ridership. Overall, for FY15, Jaunt's revenues were about $5.3 million. $2.3 of that came from localities. The other largest chunk, of course, is the federal subsidy that we get. I will point out down at the very bottom there where it says excess agency revenue, that's where that agency really helps out. We had a funding gap of about $100,000, and we were able to take that excess agency revenue and move it over and close that gap. We'll see a similar graph for just Fluvanna County in a minute. But what I want to point out when we talk about the local funding share is, of course, the urban area of Albemarle and Charlottesville contribute quite a bit. But what this means to Fluvanna is that they're carrying a larger burden of some of the overhead costs that don't have to necessarily be carried fully by Fluvanna. My salary, for example, you're probably paying 1% of my salary if I was to do the math, because that 3% that Fluvanna is contributing is of the $2.3 million, and that doesn't account for the other $3 million in federal and state funding that we get. This is really, really important, because the cost of our operations director, insurance, things like that, when you spread them over a larger area of service, they are more efficient. And so we'll continue to take that approach, and I just want to kind of give you that perspective from the kind of local share. the other perspective I want to give you is, when we talk about expenses, we try to keep our overall expenses at 20% or lower. And I will note that for some reason to the state, administrative expenses also include insurance on our vehicles, which is a operating cost. It also includes the cost of the software that we use for scheduling. So to the state, this is 20% to the state's definitions, but if we start taking out some of those costs, as you see on the right-hand side, insurance is about $200,000 a year, and that's considered admin. On the right-hand side, what's usually not really shown sometimes is where does all that money go, and you can see it's right to our employees and fuel, insurance, maintenance. A large majority of our budget is tires on the road. This is how Savannah panned out for the year. We had about $236,000 in revenue. We had about $236,500 in expenses. So of course there was a gap, but we closed that gap with the excess agency revenue. That's always what we expect could happen. We always hope it doesn't, but it does sometimes. What's always important to point out when we talk about revenues is there is a 50-50 ratio to the local funding plus the state share to the federal subsidy. And let me try to explain that. The federal government will give us 50% of what we're spending, and then we have to match it with something else. And right now we use local funding plus whatever state subsidy they give us. Every extra dollar we get from the state helps offset what y'all have to provide to John. And why I bring that up is because the better our efficiency is in Fluvanna, the more money the state gives us. About 2 years ago, the state went through this whole performance measure methodology creation where, I forget the House bill that pushed it, but it's very similar to House Bill 2, but it's just not as glamorous. They came up with this methodology that looked at four different factors, passenger load, those kind of things were part of it. And they feed into a formula annually that then the state determines how much money they want to provide to John. So the more people we can carry per hour in Savannah means the more money I can draw down. It's not going to be a lot, but every single dollar that we get coming in is one less dollar that we have to ask Savannah for. So that's why I say I want to keep the hours steady. I just want to focus on ridership and get that built back up. Of course, this year we did reach our 40th anniversary, but we also reached our 8 millionth passenger mark. Ms. Foster down in Nelson County was the recipient of that. It's a pretty good benchmark for a system our size. We also were recognized this year by the federal government, the Federal Transit Administration, for being one of four systems that have been truly effective in connecting people with employment and education and those kind of things. So two are very new systems, and two of the systems were very old, and of course JAWT is one of those well-established systems. So we're pretty proud to receive that recognition, and of course we couldn't receive that without the collaboration that we have with all the localities. And then finally, as y'all hopefully know by now, Donna retired at the end of February. I was hired or promoted or whatever, condemned to the servitude of executive director as of March 1st. It's great. I inherited a great staff. They do a wonderful job. I inherited a great board, and partially on your behalf of appointing two great board members. Makes my life very easy. I can focus on just where we're going from here, making things just a little bit better. So with that, I'll take any questions that you might have.
Any questions? Well, we certainly appreciate
your service. Yeah. $75,000 is a pretty good deal, huh?
Thank you.
Y'all have a
great evening. Thank you so much. Okay. Y'all have a good evening. Now we are at consent agenda. Anyone would like to pull anything?
I have a question on P.
On which one? P?
P. Okay. Yeah, I think the rest of them pretty much okay.
Okay, the consent agenda is minutes of November the 4th, and P, the one Mr. Weaver is pulling, is AP report October 2015, and fiscal year 16 hydrogeologic study appropriation, fiscal 16 school supplemental appropriation request for Central Elementary School Parent Teacher Organization grant funds, fiscal year 16 school supplemental appropriation request for families learning together grant funds, fiscal year 16 schools immigrant youth budget supplemental appropriation, and U is school security equipment grant appropriation. And the last, any on the back? Nope. And the last one, school security equipment grant appropriation for West Central. And we're pulling P. Mr. Weaver?
On page two.
Line number, sir.
Line 80, business data. I'm sort of curious. I know we are getting more interest now on our money through the treasurer. And I guess I was wondering about the $1,275 that was used for consulting. How did that work out?
That's Mr. Headley.
Huh?
That's Mr. Headley.
I don't believe that's, well, I shouldn't say I know specifically. I don't believe that's consulting on interest per se regarding bank interest. I'm not really sure what that's regarding.
Lawson Headley.
I don't know. That's the reason I'm asking the question.
It's Mr. Headley.
And what does he do?
He's a...
I'm...
Can't say.
Accountant?
That's a question for the treasurer, because I'm not sure on all the ins and outs of what he provides.
You're not sure what he is?
Well, he's done some work on the old Bright system.
Right.
And I think he's been consulting.
Okay, he's the one that we've had.
Yeah,
sure, that's the gentleman we've had on here.
Do we need him?
We've been trying to make some changes in that.
Yeah. Do we need him in the Muni? Is he knows the Muni system? Is that what we're using?
I think he was sent to training.
Pardon?
I think he was sent to training.
Oh.
He was originally supposed to be there to convert from Bright to Munis. Right. Now, I don't know what his capacity is now for this.
But that's a question for the treasurer, the department.
Well, could we ask that question then? Could somebody pose that question? Just send a memo trying to define it, and I'll take the blame for it.
No, we'll just put it as a board request.
I think it helps with both the treasurer and the commissioner.
Close it down. Yeah.
Okay.
And we've had him for...
Well, none of us seem to be sure, so it'd be wise if we were sure, wouldn't it?
Mm-hmm.
They could help justify that.
My concern is paying for a contractor to go to training.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll check and find out what the status is.
All right. Anything else, Mr. Weaver?
I'm afraid so.
Uh-huh.
Page 10, 359.
Page 10.
Number 315. I'm sort of curious about the trash removal. That was a pretty large amount there, $8,000. Could that possibly be a month and a half or 2 months, or is that the regular monthly amount?
For BFI, Wayne, do you have any idea what the
$8,000? Well, I don't know what the check was for. I know it's not $8,000 a month.
Well, that's what I'm wondering.
We'll have to go back and drill down.
I'll have to look
at this report because it rolls it up.
That's the reason I was wondering.
Check and see. We'll let you know on line 59.
Okay. Have one more. Garden Keepers of Virginia, contact services.
What page?
Number.
What
same,
page?
Garden Keepers 363 on the same page.
363.
Right. Cut Grass Convenience Center, $2,276.
The Convenience Center and the two schools.
The old schools.
Mm-hmm. Old Columbia and Cunningham.
And that's for the season, I think.
Yeah, I was going to say that can't be for a month.
They should be finished.
Yeah. Would be for a month.
That was for the season one.
If it is, we should go into the grass company.
That's right.
Yeah, that's what I'm on. Maybe you and I can set up something.
But does that include the playground that you had the guys go over and clean up?
No, that was before those guys were on.
Okay, so this is that.
Yeah, and we
how much
that
is it? What is it?
363, $2,276. I would like to follow up if you don't mind.
Sure.
On it.
Yes, sir.
$2,276. I bet you that's for the season, I hope.
Or I can assure you that if it was for one mowing, we'll be finding someone else to mow it. I'll do it for
$1,000.
I think there's a lot of
I got Columbia.
No problem.
I thought it was $200 more.
That's definitely not for just one year.
No, probably a quarter.
Or maybe for the summer. So
is that been 6 months? Something of that nature.
Okay, ready for a motion?
Yes.
Madam Chair.
Yes.
I move that we approve of the consent agenda as you just read formally, and which includes the bills of $1,817,243.19.
Okay. Do we have a second?
Second.
All right. It's moved by Mr. Weaver, second by Mr. Sheridan. All in favor?
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Chair votes aye. And we'll turn over, and we have unfinished business. Do we have an unfinished business? Do we have any new business? All right, I'm opening public comments number two. Anyone would like to speak to the board, please come to the mic.
Oh,
I'm sorry.
One thing on the new business. I said something to him just now.
Okay.
I had an idea. Y'all tell me if you think I'm out in the dark on this one. We have a lot of companies in Fluvanna that remove trees. And a lot of times when they have wood that they cannot reuse, that wood ends up being dumped somewhere.
Yes.
I was wondering when we were in there talking about the need for seasoned wood, the need for wood throughout our county, if we could find an area somewhere in the back at Pleasant Grove, we could offer those folks a chance to dump that wood, and then we could have groups. I'm sure we could find groups that would volunteer to come over and split it for people to have seasoned firewood, because green wood is a danger at this time of the year. But some wood's better than no wood if you have no heat.
Right.
And that's just something I mentioned to Mr. Nichols, and I thought that we might be able to find a place back in there in the back behind the community gardens. That's the first thought that came to my mind, behind the shed. If we could allow them to say, hey guys, and reach out to those different wood groups and say, if you've got stuff you just want to get rid of, dump it back here. And, you know,
would we have to be careful what they dump back there? Because he's shaking his head, yes.
Who wants to dump pine?
Huh?
Well, I mean, I know that people do burn pine when they have nothing else.
I would do if I did anything else, for sure.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean,
it's dangerous.
If I had anything else here, I wouldn't burn pine.
If I had anything
I've
else.
Had my experience with pine.
Yes, sir. I know it's not good, but when the folks have nothing.
Well,
and we could put a limitation on it if you wanted to and say hardwoods.
There won't be any limitation because unless you have somebody out there watching it, they'll be coming dumping any time. So we just have to be prepared for that.
That's just a thought I had in my mind, that if we could find a place, a central location, that we could offer this.
Could we look at that and get some kind of rules on it then and go ahead and do something like that?
I'm just throwing it out as an idea because it's that time of the season and I don't think of that thing until yes.
As you said, in the past, the wood pines used to do that.
Convenience center, maybe.
Or convenience center.
Yeah.
I mean, what did you say?
Convenience center, possibly.
Let's get it done.
You have a little more control because it's closed off.
Somebody's there.
And then somebody's there when they can come in.
Right.
So, anywhere, if we could have this area where we could
let us do a little look at it, and we'll come back to
that. It's one of those things.
Say at least we got some control on what's coming in.
I could volunteer some of my old players to come in there and help me split wood.
But you could stay down on Saturdays, couldn't you?
A lot of people have those splitters.
Yes, ma'am.
Those splitters are pretty good. I think it's a good idea.
It's just one of those things. I think it would provide two services.
Yeah.
We keep them from just backing up somewhere in the woods and dumping something.
Sure. But we also have some organizations out there should be doing this instead of the Board of Supervisors. I mean, the idea that we could tell them where to dump it. I mean, you know what I'm saying?
I think it's a good idea.
I mean, like...
And we could open it up to organizations. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And have a place where we have
wood.
Where
we have it.
But, guys, and let it be known, this is the purpose for this week.
Right.
I think you'd be surprised if the
churches would show up to do it. The Realtor Club used to do it a lot.
But I was trying to think of some outside agency that would take this on as their project and not...
You'd be crashing there, too.
The only advantage to the community center,
metal containers,
although I can see a bunch of problems, the only advantage is that it's controlled access, and that might help recruit some things.
Supervision.
Yeah. I mean, at least we know who drove in there. And yeah, you need some.
But the other thing would be if
but there are lots of church
if
groups.
If you didn't want
used.
To do that, well, you may end up with a bunch of who knows what. Identify those people who have it, like Chandler and Mr. Adams, all those
Mr.
people
Hackett.
Who cut and all that. And the people who come, they have a place where they put their wood.
They sell
they could
that.
Split it, and yep. then people could
they
come
sell
in
what
and
they can
it.
Sell, and then they look to do something
right.
else with that. A lot of those folks that have those furnaces.
Right. We just need to know who would like to.
$400 to cut the tree down. They take the tree and then sell the wood.
Would like
absolutely.
To their wood
yeah.
to be given
and they charge
out,
you to haul it off.
We
and
have
sell it.
Charge
it
to haul it off
and then sell it back to you.
Yeah.
I think we're just.
Which is all right.
I think we need to.
Let staff take us and think through it.
Yeah.
Come up with some ideas.
Right.
I mean,
it,
like
and
I said,
give it to an agent.
It's just an idea, and I think it's something.
If we had a pellet machine, we could grind it down into pellets, and we could sell the pellets. That'd be good. Then
that's a job.
Yeah.
You get some of that big.
No, the problem is that the problem is that we
grind
big fire and the pellet on fire.
Okay.
Okay. So we'll take a look over the next few weeks and try to get something before we lose our winter season
well,
to get
right.
back.
Even if it's not ready for this year, it's
mm-hmm.
something we can start thinking about next year. Let them drop so that instead of cutting brand new green wood and
yeah,
sure. chance
of well,
it's, on fire.
I'm thinking of you know do we have to cover for the stuff that's you know cut so it cures and you know etc
mm-hmm.
etc. Et so
right.
that's
what
the rest of us do.
Yeah.
Most
yeah.
of them, most of them just leave it in a pile.
Not me.
I know.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes, I am.
Yes.
Okay, we're going to open the public comments, second public comments. Anyone like to speak to the board? Please come to the mic, give your name and address. Anyone? Okay, we are finished with the comment number two. Closing meeting, Mr. Weaver.
Madam Chair,
mm-hmm.
I move the Fluvanna County Board of Supervisors enter into a closed meeting pursuant to the provisions of Section 2.2-3711, 8.6, Section 2.2-3711, 8.7 of the Code of Virginia 1950 as amended for the purpose of discussing investment of funds and legal matters.
All right.
Second.
All right, it's motion by Mr. Weaver and second by Mr. O'Brien. All in favor?
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Chair votes aye. We are now in closed meeting.
Oh my
goodness.
Okay.
Okay.
Madam Chair, I move the closed meeting be adjourned and the Fluvanna County Board of Supervisors convene again in open session. Be it resolved, the Board of Supervisors does hereby certify that to the best of each member's knowledge, only public business matters lawfully exempted from open meeting requirements under Section 2.2-3711-8, the Code of Virginia 1950, as amended, and only such public business matters as were identified in the motion by which the closed meeting was convened were heard, discussed, or considered in the meeting. A second and a recorded vote needed.
All right, second. All right, moved by Mr. Levin, second by Ms. Sheridan. Ms. Sheridan, your vote. Mr. Weaver.
Aye.
Mr. O'Brien.
Aye. Can I move the meeting be extended?
Before we do that, okay, go ahead. Extend.
Be extended until midnight.
Second. All right, it's been moved to be extended to midnight. All in favor? Anyone opposed? Chair votes aye.
I think Mr. Weaver, I think that there's an opportunity to get something done tonight. And I think that would.
Can you stay here?
I think there's an opportunity to get something done, and it may not be the best timing, but I also think that it may eliminate some headaches.
What are you talking about?
I'm talking about this.
Well, even Steve says that he didn't think be something there, so I'm not going to be involved in it. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, the meeting's over.
Well, it isn't because we haven't adjourned yet, but
yeah.
Well,
so think about what I'm asking, right? Which is, you know, there's a controllable situation right now, and there's not a controllable situation, you know, potentially not a controllable situation. So that's why I'm asking the question. So
well, you don't have a second.
I don't necessarily have to have one.
Well.
But that's, again, why I'm asking, so.
I don't want to do anything while somebody's not here.
And the consequence of that could be?
I'm not sure what the consequence. It could be a multitude of things.
Sure. I get that. Which is why I'm asking.
I'm not going to be a part of it.
What's your major objection?
Midnight.
Aside from that?
Well, that's one of the principles.
It's been done before.
Yeah, it's been done in Charlottesville and Alamo County. And you saw what happened with them.
What happened?
Well, the people were outraged. They were doing it late at night.
I think people
were. It wasn't on the agenda.
No, I think people.
Well, you don't remember, but I do.
I mean, this is an operational agreement. It doesn't force anything. It just guarantees that this part is done. So it isn't forcing the next two votes. It is simply guaranteeing that this part is done. I mean, it does not commit. In fact, I would argue it strengthens our position in advance, is what I would argue. It actually gives us a better place to be because we've already been told that we can't take this any further. And by having an opportunity to put this to bed at this moment in time without creating an additional delay, we are in a better position overall to make a clear decision come the second versus clouding it through this process. You know, I think if you took the tact of saying we are out of a situation to negotiate any longer, so this is what we will be voting on, and you looked at it strictly from the standpoint of, is this a good thing for Fluvanna County, regardless as to how the other two votes turn out, I think that one would argue that it is a good thing, and so therefore there is nothing negative about committing to doing this at this point in time. It may seem like a major decision, but it is a part of a major decision. It's just one piece of that decision. So to me, it would be similar to the operational components that have already been put in place previously and were voted with less than the full board being here. In some cases, yourself, and in some cases, other folks.
Wasn't put on the agenda. You should have brought it up at some other time.
It was put on the agenda. I was threatened to take it off. So.
Huh?
I was threatened, so I took it off.
Yeah, that's right. That's what I say. It's not on. It wasn't on the agenda.
Yeah, I agree.
Past tense, it was, temporarily. In fact, I think it even went out to some people.
To you?
I heard rumors that some other people saw it. Don't ask me how. I don't know.
Well, I can guarantee they didn't because the only person was in my office and your office.
Okay.
I mean,
I'm just saying.
The courier have sealed envelopes to take to your house, so yours got to yours. Mr. Allenbuck's never got there. The library never got there. And the other ones are in
my office. I don't know.
I mean, so I understand your position there. I'm just saying procedurally, these are, you know, one could say this is going to be one of the largest votes that Fluvanna County will take in years to come, and that shapes the future of the county for years to come. Whether you agree with that or not, whether you agree that it's shaping in the right direction or the wrong direction, it definitely shapes it. And so to the degree that we are clarifying that position as quickly as possible, are we better off or worse off? And I think if you were to second this, it would address objections that other people might have. And I do not think that you are foregoing or taking away the opportunity to vote how you will ultimately decide, which would direct
the course. I don't like to think of those at midnight when it wasn't on the agenda. That's where I am.
Mrs. Booker, how do you feel about it?
I would like for us to go ahead and get it over with. This will be one piece done. We know Mike couldn't be here. Bob's not here because he's, whatever reason, on vacation, whatever. And, you know, I can't control that. I mean, at this most important time, if I were a board member, I would be present. I don't know his personal things, but it's too many times he's out, and we have been considerate of not taking votes when he's out. When you're out two and three and four and five and six times, and we have to delay our business because we don't have a full board, I'm here all the time. I'll never miss. Don, you don't ever miss any days. So why are we being so considerate of Bob because he's chosen to take off at this very important time?
Miss Hugh can always be on the other foot sometimes.
It can be.
Everybody the same.
It can be, which is why I think we as a body try to deliberate and think about these things together.
That's my ethical position. So.
Okay. Well, I'd make a motion that we pass this.
Could you restate the motion?
Yes. I'd like to make a motion that we approve the
Addendum 1.
A debt agreement between Louisa County and Virginia Fluvanna County. Agreement between Louisa County, Virginia, Fluvanna County, Virginia, the Louisa County Water Authority, and the James River Water Authority regarding the James River Water Pipeline dated October 1st, 2013. As is.
Are you talking about Addendum 1?
Addendum number 1, yes.
Okay, can I give up my position as chair? Mr. Weaver, you be chair so I can second. Is that Roberts?
I don't want to be chair.
Is that Roberts? You, can I follow?
You can recognize the motion and call for a vote. If you do, the vote stands without a second.
Okay. Okay, I recognize the vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Chair votes aye. Any opposed?
Aye.
Mr. Weaver,
I just want to note that I did ask, and this, I think, is an important process.
Okay, okay, I need a motion to adjourn.
So made.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Chair votes aye. We are adjourned. Thank you.